Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ask the Amigos. I'm John.
And I'm Aaron.
Today, Aaron, we are going to answer some of our Discord community's burning questions. We start with David Hearn Ryder. He says, you can go back in time as a game designer and help reshape an Amiga game that could have been a classic with some changes. Which one do you choose and what would you change?
Oh, God. That's an overwhelming. So we're going to retool a game to make it better. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah.
Well, I will say we just played one that I would love to retool to make it better. I would change the jumping on Harlequin right away. That's a very, obviously it's fresh in my mind, but I mean, that thing needs to be, they need to get that situated. If they get the, if they'd get that thing cooking, then you would have a great game there. So I'm just going to go with the obvious answer and just say Harlequin.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the other obvious answer and say Lionheart. Because Lionheart, you don't think Lionheart is already, you think Lionheart's already a classic, don't you?
Yes, God, it's the best game on the Amiga, except for maybe
Wings.
Well,
it's the best game on the Amiga that you can't beat the first level up.
Dude, I beat a lot of levels when you were watching, too. Don't give me that.
Well,
I did great.
We'll try it again during Amigathon. I'll put another $100 bet down.
Oh, yeah, you told me that. I had to beat a ton of the game. It's hard. It's a hard game. I'm going to practice up. What would you change?
I would make the levels shorter, I would make them less vertical, and I would change the entire control scheme. Now, I realize this is a divisive thing because some people love the controls of Lionheart, but I would change it to be more sort of Castlevania-esque, you know, where you've got a basically high attack, low attack, and regular attack. That way it's easier to hit those little bugs that are always crawling at you. It's easier to sort of get the guy to do what you want him to do while you're jumping, while you're active. Now, one thing I would definitely leave in, though, is the awesome thing that he does where he stabs downward when you jump. That thing rules. I'm leaving that in. But I would, one, make the level shorter, and two, change the controls. Bam.
You don't take – I mean, of all the games we've played, there are other games that are in much worse need of attention. You know,
yeah, but those aren't classics. If they would have made those two changes, you could have put out Lionheart on any console and it would have been welcomed with open arms.
It could have been welcomed right now, in my opinion. That's just me.
Ricky DeRosier asks, is there any game that turned out to be horrible, but you still played a lot because you spent a lot of money on it? Yes.
Oh, God, yes. So all of them, because I'm so cheap.
Well, when I was a kid, you know, you don't get a ton of games. And I wasn't a computer gamer, so I didn't have a lot of, that's not true. I had a lot of pirated games for the old Atari computer. But when I was in the prime of my kiddom, I was all in on the big N. And so I was either renting games or I was buying games. And I remember that one year for my birthday, it was a horrible birthday because we were in Hinton. Okay.
We were
in Hinton at my uncle's river house. Okay.
That's nice. That's pretty up there.
Well, when you're an adult, it's nice, but when you're a kid, you're bored out of your mind, and it's your birthday, and you know that your birthday is going to come and go without the possibility of a birthday party, which means presents. So, as a recompense, my dad took me to the Kmart there, and I'm not sure where the nearest Kmart is to Hinton, but we were there. I still remember this clear as day, and I saw, he's like, you can pick any game you want for your birthday, all right? And I was looking at Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I was like, man, this looks awesome. Turtles. I love turtles. And then for some reason, my eyes rested upon Caveman Ugg Olympics.
Yes. Good choice.
And I was like, well, what about Caveman Ugg Olympics? Well, this is a game that unless you have, much like Track and Field 2, it was designed to be played with rapid-fire controls. There are some events in this game that are just unplayable unless you have rapid-fire. And of course, means did I have a rapid fire? No. And so half of the game was just nonsense, but I would try and play it anyway. I would try and figure out, what am I doing wrong? It's got to be me. And so, yes, that's the game that stands out to me as the game that I played a lot, even though it was horrible. How about you, Aaron?
First of all, that game is great. I don't know, what were you playing it on? The NES?
Nintendo.
Okay, yeah. I don't know how it is on there. I played the computer version, brother.
Maybe it's better on the computer.
Listen, it's great. All those events are funny. I believe there's one.
They are funny.
Isn't there a discus type of event where you grab your
you
woman by your hair?
Yep, yep. And
see,
that one is good.
They could get away with that. Now you can't get away with that in real life. No one could do that to me. But anyway, I love caveman. And also, I didn't like that. I thought the NES Turtles was no good.
Also not a great game either. Yeah.
Listen. I'm going to go another Amiga classic, and we covered it. It's funny. A lot of the games that I bought, I've covered for their crappiness, and this is another one. I can think of two that I played a lot. I was trying to justify the big money. One was called FX Fighter on the PC. It was a fighting game that was no good, but the true winner, and I'm not saying this game's bad, but it was bad for me, and that was freaking Armageddon. You know how hard it was to get Amiga games? It's so hard. It's so hard to get them. And so when I found a shop that sold them, I was like, I'm going to buy the biggest, bestest, coolest looking psychnosis game there is. And it was Armageddon. And I took that thing home and just stood there scratching my head in a vain attempt to understand. I sucked at that game. And then when we covered it again, I sucked yet again. It was a double kick to the pants. So that right there would be one that right off the top of my head. Because I've bought tons of games. You've seen behind me. But, I mean, those are for fun. Now I'm an adult. But as a kid, you're right. You get X amount of games or someone who's on a fixed budget. And, yeah, Armageddon cost me a fortune, and I did not get my money's worth.
Jocko6502 writes, Nestle recently announced in the UK they are stopping making two chocolate bars that have been around forever. Animal Bars and Caramac. Are there any candy bars or snacks from your childhood you can no longer get and would bring them back if you could? Aaron, what do you think?
Listen, and I they came back briefly, but I can't find them anymore. This thing called Charms. They were like these fruit, different flavored fruit, like, I don't know what you call, like chewy fruit candies with like sugar on them. They were so good. I used to get them all the time back in the day. Of course, there's the ever popular Reggie, but really the Reggie was just a blob of chocolate and nuts and caramel and a big blob. That's what it was. But you know it was cool because it was Reggie, brother Reggie Jackson. So those are two that come up there are right off the top of my head. Charms in particular was one I was a real fan of. Now, when it came to pop, it was like pop or something. I could give you like Surge. Man, I love that stuff. And you can't get that no more. But the Charms would be the one I would pick.
For me, I also share your love of Surge. That was a drink of choice when I was in high school.
The color made it good.
That
it made
neon
it cooler.
Green. Yeah. 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 But when I was a kid, it was I was in fifth or sixth grade when Terminator 2 came out. Yeah. There was Terminator 2 everything. It was heavily marketed to children, although it was not a kid's film.
Yeah, because it was super violent.
Yeah. And so, but they had these things called Terminator 2 Sour Meltdowns. Okay. And they looked like they came in a skull can. Right. and they look
like
Dippin'
Dots. Another great thing for kids. Yeah.
Yeah. They look like Dippin' Dots. But it was pure citric acid. Like there was no flavor at all. They were different colors, but you put it in your mouth and your mouth immediately melted because it was so sour. And I love sour candy. I've never had anything that sour before. And I love the fact that they look like, of course, I don't think Dippin' Dots were around, but they were just these little balls, right? And so it's just, they were great. T2 Sour Meltdowns. You know,
if you think about it, T2, a movie that after the movie was out, they marketed to kids with Skull Can. And also the movie was about a kid who's perpetually in danger of being shot, killed, or violently ripped in half. You know, by the way, special honorable mention, if I could have any food come back, it would be my beloved Fudgy from Mr. Donut. I'm begging for one of those. I'll pay top dollar for the first man that can produce a good Fudgy like I remember it.
Buck Owens asks, what is your favorite holiday television special?
Yeah, it's funny. We mentioned it, and I just it used to be The Christmas Story, you know, that the old classic. But now I'm sick of it. I've seen it so much. And they also much like everything else, they can't just, like, have a beloved thing. They've got to ram it repeatedly. Right. You can't just watch it. They've got to ram it into your eyes. And they did that to a lot of the classics. Your Frosties, your Charlie Brown's Christmas Special, your Grinch. They just won't leave it alone. They've got to take those guys and put them in commercials and do all the crap that makes you not want to like the things you used to like. You know what I mean? So now my new thing it's not that new, but it's fairly new. And I mentioned this before Christmas, is the old BBC Christmas ghost story. That's what I like. I look forward to that every year. They come with a new one, and I watch all the old ones again, and they're great. So that's my thing. I love those. The BBC getting it done on Christmas. It's the way I like it. In fact, on Christmas, I fired up my old TV in here and watched The Signalman, a great one from like the 70s, which is outstanding. Very creepy, yeah. very fun. There you go.
Mm-hmm. I really like Rudolph. I think Rudolph is my favorite. The old, Rankin Bass? Are those the guys?
Yeah.
I like that, the Rudolph. It's short. It's only a half hour. I watch it one time per year, and that's it. I do like Christmas Story, too. We usually watch that every Christmas, but you're right. It is, like, it's lost some of its luster. Rudolph will never lose its luster for
it's
me.
It's funny,
because
me and the family watched Rudolph as well this year. And, of course, we get into the minutiae of Rudolph. Like, how cruel all the Santa Claus and all the other reindeer are to Rudolph. Yeah. Like, they're jerks to him. I don't blame him for it. Yeah. And the same thing with Herbie. Or what is that his name? The dentist elf? Like, those guys are jerks. Hermie. Mm-hmm. And really the best guy in the whole thing, without any doubt, is Yukon Cornelius. That guy's great. He's got the beard, the dogs. He always is optimistic. I think I've got a little of that guy in me. I like him. Very cool. It's a good choice, Boat.
I'd love to dress as Yukon Cornelius for Halloween one year. I think that would be an awesome costume.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. David, why don't you ask that question next December? David asked a whole bunch of Christmas questions. We'll save those for next year. Chris Folds writes, since going deep into the swimming world, I've been surprised at the amount of body shaving men do. What are your thoughts on manscaping?
I've got thoughts on that, Boat. It's funny. That came up on a stream, I think. That, you know, me and the Brent were approached by the Manscaped people. I think they approach a lot of people, because I think Flack also. And I tried, like, you wouldn't believe it. First of all, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was, like, beards and stuff. You know, boy, was I surprised when I looked at the literature they recommended that I say. You know, and it was also super dirty. You know, because it was, like, the man show type humor. I'm like, this ain't going to work. Right. And then I thought, so once I pondered it, you know, I used to work out with a guy who was, like, clean shaven head to toe. My now departed buddy, the Rich, Big Q. And he used to always, he was always shaved everywhere. And I thought to myself, what a pointless endeavor this is, you know. But usually it was something that people that like worked out, like weightlifters. He was a bodybuilder or like wrestlers or like gymnasts or something. They would do this stuff. I'm talking men here. But for some reason, there's a new trend, I guess. And I wonder if it is a trend because I think it might be a trend because these guys want to make a lot of money, and so they've sort of made it a trend. And like now, if you don't like shave your whole body, you're some sort of geek. That's what they were trying to say. And like the chicks don't dig you if you're not totally shaved up. It's weird to me. I think it's a lot of garbage actually. And if you've ever tried to shave like if you're a man and you ever tried to like say shave your legs, I don't know, your back. Or whatever, your chest, any of that stuff, you understand what a hellacious thing that is. And you also appreciate the ladies for doing it because it sucks. It's hard enough to shave your head and your face. The rest of it, it's the worst, Bo. It's the worst. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think if you have a reason to, for example, I guess if you're a swimmer, all the categories that you mentioned.
Yeah, swimmer, pro wrestler, that's another one, yeah.
Et cetera. Then yeah, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But to me, I'm shaving from the neck up and that's it.
And that's on occasion. You're like me.
Yeah.
Like we get around to it. And listen, I mean, some people might like, I don't know, the way they feel when they're all shaved up or whatever, but man, that's a tall order. Can you imagine shaving? Like it's time to shave, Boat. And I'm not even talking about your T-zone, Boat. I'm talking just like time to shave your legs, Boat. It's right, like, my right. God, there's not a trimmer alive that I would want to be trimming certain areas with either. They got a trimmer called the lawnmower, right? Pretty clever. Do you want to put that near your boys? I don't think so. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it, Boat.
Next up, we have Pajaco. He says, do you have a favorite video game or video game system TV commercial from the 80s?
You got one, Boat?
Well, I don't recall seeing a lot of like video game commercials from the 80s because, when they were hot and heavy in the early 80s, I was too young. And then, I remember seeing commercials for Mario and stuff like that. But it was mostly for Mario's sort of ancillary activities. Yeah. Like, I would see commercials for Mario cereal or something like that. But my favorite that I didn't know about, I didn't see back in the day, but I've discovered, is one of Jack Black's first on-camera appearances. He does an excellent commercial for Pitfall.
Yeah, it's funny. Adam just mentioned that. It's a crazy. Yeah. I'm going to go way back, because there's one I've always... You know how stuff sticks in your head for no good reason? And me and my buddy Hose used to mock this commercial. There's a game for the 2600 called Spider-Man. And I always, like, as a kid, I was always into this commercial because it had Spider-Man in it, and he fights the Green Goblin. And if you've ever played that game, you have to go up this building with your webs. But, like, there's a gauge that has how much web fluid you got. And in the commercial, Green Goblin goes, what's wrong, Webhead? You're running out of fluid! And he does that. I always thought that was funny. I don't know why. So that would be my favorite one. You're running out of fluid, Green Goblin Spider-Man commercial. That's the one. That was my best Green Goblin, Boat.
That was pretty good. David Hearn Ryder asks, Aussie Rugby League, and he puts in parentheses, NRL, is coming to Vegas in March 2024 in an attempt to gain traction in the United States. Do you think there will be much interest, and will you be watching? Aaron, you sound like you've heard about this.
Well, I've watched rugby back on ESPN 37 back in the day when I lived up on the mountain. I got into rugby and Australian rules football, which I understood Australian rules football more. So I prefer that one. But rugby's better than soccer, so I'm all for it. I'd much rather see that catch on. At least, I mean, they're in there getting into it, you know. Rugby players are tough, strong, athletic death machines, you know. Again, I'm more of an Australian rules football guy, but rugby's okay, too. I'm down with that.
I think the United States is always prime for, you know, new sports. It's been a while since we've had any sport try to break into the United States. I mean, soccer is what it is. Yeah. But I mean, I always welcome new sports. I've heard that F1 is getting more popular here.
Yeah.
At this point in my life, this is the first football season in since, I mean, 20 years that I barely watched one game.
Oh,
I just
wow.
got other things going on. And it's sort of sad because I do enjoy sports, but it was just something that my life didn't really align to it, with it this year. So I probably will not be watching the NRL, but I wish it the best.
You know, just for my own edification, Boat, did you get to watch much baseball this year?
Oh,
about it a lot, and I didn't hear you say a whole lot.
And again,
about it.
I don't know if it's just because I've had all these other things going on, but it's difficult for me. Sit down and commit, because it's just like with sports, it's not something that you can really, like, you sit down and you watch a couple innings of baseball, you walk away feeling unsatisfied. And same thing with football. It's like, I'm just going to watch a quarter. Well, nobody wants to do that. And so it's a question of, like, do I want to do this or do I want to watch? Because this year my big thing is I want to watch more movies. So I'm trying to make my screen time, like, yes, less YouTube time and more movie time. I've been somewhat successful, but yet not with that so far. It's hard to escape the throes of YouTube. You know,
I've got a gimmick for football, right? So I've got a pattern. So I get up early on Sunday morning and do whatever the Sunday show is with the Brent, you know. Mm-hmm. And by the time I'm done filming that show, my nerves are jumping because of the Brent, you know. So I come in here, I do whatever things I have to do the show to get it ready to go, and then I get me a lunch. Yeah, you know, have my lunch. Then it's football time. Put the football game on. Kind of lay back in the bed here, and then come and just phase in and out of consciousness for about 4 or 5 hours. That's football.
It's a great way to
goes. Yeah, it's great.
And the great thing
relaxing
about football, There's so many great things about football. Is my favorite sport because of the way they do it. There's not a ton of games. They make it easy to follow exactly what's going on throughout the whole season and not have to devote your life to it. And there's a day where it's nothing but football games back to back to back. And like you said, it's perfect for sort of dozing. It's
although the they've made it, they've sport. Put too many games on too often. They need to stop doing that. There's too much.
Let's see. We get there. The next three questions come from Is Too Scooby.
Okay.
First one is, do you have a lucky number? And if so, what is it?
I don't have one that I don't have a lucky number. There's not one I lean on. Like, I randomly will just pick some number. I don't have a...
I like 7 and 14. Because that's my birthday.
That's a traditional 7, 14, lucky number, 81. The old 7, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But this is a question for me. Have you ever sported a beard? I grew a beard for about 2 months before we started the show. It was in like 2012. Eep was not a fan, and so I took the beard off and it has not made a return. Is Too Scooby writes, Aaron, when was the last time you went without facial hair?
By the way, Bo, you need to get big chops. That's what you'd look great with those.
Bald and chops.
I used to occasionally cut the beard off. Completely with no facial hair. You know, when I lived in Lexington, I lost like a ton of weight one time, right? And so I shaved. And
that was when you were running the 10Ks too, right?
Yeah, that's right. And so when I did that, just for fun, I shaved my beard and my hair. And I started that. I started the ponytail. So if I positioned the cap correctly, I could look like someone with hair, you know? And I had a guy who, I had a comic book store who used to set comic books aside for me. I'd pick them up every month, you know, that shtick. Mm-hmm. And I went in there one time, and he said, and I'd just been in there the month before, mind you. And I said, he goes, can I help you? I was like, yeah, I want my comics. And he goes, what's your name? I told him my name. He looked at me. He goes, that's you? I'm like, yeah. He goes, my God, you look like a whole different guy. Like, it was a whole different guy. And I thought to myself, that's probably not the best if I look that different. So I grew my beard back.
Well, it depends.
Back.
If it was an improvement, it would be.
Well, what happened was, so here's how I licked that guy's problem. He never forgot me again. What you do is you gain 100 pounds and grow your facial hair back. Then, bam. He was like, oh, there he comes. I can see him coming from two blocks off. That's a Neo. And then I was in.
Whatever happened to that guy? Do you still have contact with him?
No, that was in Lexington. The comic book store folded. That was into him. You know, comics went down the toilet boat, and then they never came back. They just got more expensive.
Next up, we got three questions from Fred Onions. The first one is, have you ever talked your way out of a traffic ticket? No, I have not.
I've been pulled over and not ticketed, but I can't sit there and say, hey, it was all me. In fact, I've tried to be like, hey. Like, I work for the state police, and they're like, they don't give any craps. I mean, in Kentucky, it might fly, but in this state, they don't care. In fact, I think it makes them angrier when I do that, so I just stop doing it.
Have you ever actually said that when you were pulled over? Have you been pulled over since you've gotten? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When you were pulling out of your subdivision.
That was
forgot
it.
Forgot about that.
He wasn't buying it. And trust me, I laid it on. I was like, you know, hey, I'm embarrassed to. Being
hey,
that I work
colleague.
For the cops, you know, that shtick. He was like, yeah, $200, 200 wigwams. That guy cost me for nothing. I'm so furious about that, Boat.
Yeah, you just sort of get screwed there.
Yeah, I did.
Red Onions asks, who is the biggest nerd you've ever met?
Oh, God.
I feel like everybody I know is a nerd in a different way.
I don't know. There are some people. I knew this guy in Huntington named Doctor Who. That was his BBS name. Mm-hmm. I'd say the biggest nerds ever met were all when I was in college. And they were, I mean, these were like, because they made them different back in them days. Like, nerds now, they're a little bit more accepted and more worldly. These are your straight up, you know, pocket protector geeks, the tape. And it's a toss up, actually. I used to be in the Marshall University of Science. By the way, I hung out with these guys, so I guess that's an indictment. But I used to be in this thing called the Marshall University Science Fiction Society. They called them the Misfits. They wanted them to call them Musips, but they called them Misfits. And it was an apt, appropriate name. By the way, my buddy Mark Mooch Maddox was in there, the kid genius that I used to hang out with. And so all those guys were huge dorks. I mean, huge. But it comes down to this guy named Doctor Who. Doctor Who was this guy who just looked like if you think in your head, what's a geek look like? He looks just like this guy. You know, the flannel shirt, the pocket protector, the dork glasses, the black stringy hair, and the, you know, just looks like a goof. Him, he would come over. He's one of the guys that would go over and try to get into Chad's computer so he could play his BBS time because he didn't have a computer of his own. You know, so that guy, Starman's another guy. He would camp out on BBS's. He was another big geek. So I mean, there's
didn't
a ton
you,
of those guys.
You feud with Starman?
No, I never feuded with anybody. I like everybody, but these are geeks. And of course, Mark.
Did the Chud feud with Starman?
No, the Chud feuded with another guy named Moon Pup. That was his arch rival. Chad feuded with a lot of guys. Chad would know. I mean, let's put it this way. In this sea of nerddom, Chad looked like a well-adjusted, normal man.
And Fred Onion's final question is...
Well, you didn't answer it. Who's your geek? Did you know any geeks?
I can't answer that question without incriminating people that I still hang out with.
Oh,
Fred Onions asks, in Brewster's Millions, Richard Pryor has to spend $30 million in 30 days yet own nothing in order to get a $300 million inheritance. How would you spend $30 million while owning nothing and still keep a PG rating?
So easy. I would just steal your gimmick, Boat. $30 million of crypto, brother. That money be gone like that. It's not like in the old days where you had to buy something that exists. You know, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Or you could buy DLC, $30 million of DLC.
It would be easier to spend $30 million in 30 days now than I think in the time of Brewster's Millions.
Oh yeah.
But I would take the most expensive cruise. I mean, you could take these round the world cruises and you could rent out an entire cruise boat. There's tons of ways that you can spend that money.
Yeah.
That would fit.
NFTs,
but I just travel.
I travel.
Yeah. Spinny 108 writes, you win a vacation to a mysterious island. You're greeted by your host, Mr. Rourke, and his assistant, Tattoo.
Yeah.
Welcome to Fantasy Island. You have 48 hours. What is your fantasy?
Oh, man. You know, remember the one where he fought the devil? It was so good. Malcolm. It was Roddy McDowell. That was great. My fantasy on Fantasy Island, I don't know, because there's two kind of fantasies you could get into here. I'm going to go with the G-rated one, I think. You know, I would like to be like a towering, like, I don't mean like a necessarily famous, but like someone who's incredibly gifted at a certain, think of the tippity top gymnast on earth, or like the tippity top, the guy who's at the very top of of stuntman, so I'm like a guy who's at the peak of human conditioning, who can like do flips and jumps and parkour and all that stuff. I would like to be like that. That's what I would like to be. A guy who can really go out and manipulate himself in ways to do all this cool stuff. I'd like to experience what that's like. Because, I mean, I can barely roll off my chair and on my bed without falling down. I want to see what it's like to do, like, trip a flip, jump over, like, a bridge, stuff like that. So I think that'd be my fantasy.
My fantasy would be all of the people that I've ever wanted to hang out with and talk to and play music with are on the island. And they all want to be there, and they all want to hang out with me.
You had to add that part, didn't you?
That's the biggest fantasy of all. And so I want to be in a situation where I can walk up to Paul McCartney and be like, hey, why don't we jam a little bit? And he'd be like, yeah, I'm totally down to jam with you, nobody. And so I was like, how about we play these Beatles songs? I would totally be like, what's his name from Tommy Boy when he interviewed Paul McCartney. I would be in that mood, total fanboy.
You know what? You know how would work? Is Rourke, behind the scenes, he would threaten them all. It's like, listen,
right,
you're going to love this guy or you're never leaving this island, Paul McCartney. So Paul McCartney's tripping over himself to love you. It's like, oh, John Bonham Carter, I know all about you. Teacher of the year. My God.
That's right. And I'd bask in it. Mr. Rocket asks, which is your favorite He-Man character?
Oh.
You love Orko, right?
No, I hate him the most. I didn't like He-Man, if I'm honest.
But you were in your mid-20s when it debuted. So.
No, I wasn't. I was still, like, I could watch that show, not, you know. But I just thought, everyone in that whole world, it's like juicing. Like, it was worse than WWF. They're all, like, jacked. So I would probably pick the hottest of the chicks that they had there.
That evil sorceress?
Evil Lynn, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Was she hotter than Tila? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's close. But, I mean, really, even then, like, I mean, I've got a standing rule. Like, don't, like, hook up with a chick that might take a notion to just break your neck like a twig or use evil magic. So, you know, maybe I would just hop on that battle cat and drive around for a while. It might be kind of fun.
Yeah, I was going to say battle cat. I would go with his lesser form when he is cringe.
Cringer. He's a geek in that form. Why you want to hang out with him there?
I think he'd be a nice guy to talk to.
Do you think you could beat the crap out of that Adam before he mans up? He's still pretty chiseled.
Yeah, that's the suspension of disbelief is on the Clark Kent level. Everybody knew he was He-Man. I mean, who's kidding who?
If you think about this for a minute, let's take a moment here. Me and you appear in the He-Man universe, right? All these people are huge, stacked murderers. Like, they're all chiseled. And even Orko would keep the crap out of us. And Cringer.
Yeah.
Like, all the dorks, all the bad guys, we wouldn't be able to do anything to these guys.
He also asks, what is your favorite Star Wars character?
Well, now, or back when I liked Star Wars.
Well, let's go with back when you liked Star Wars.
There were lots of cool characters back in them days. You know, listen, I loved Luke. I mean, he got the Force. He got to hang out with Yoda. He drove around a cool ship. He had a droid. You know, he kissed the princess. He didn't know. It's all right. Get away with it. You know, I like that guy. Like, he was the guy you're supposed to like. He was cool. I mean, I loved Han Solo, Chewie. But Luke was like the everyman. I liked him. I felt like he was me on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that makes the original Star Wars great, is that all the characters are great.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not any dumb characters. Like, you can identify with almost everybody. I always liked Lando. Oh,
yeah, that's
a good choice. I thought he was cool because he was a city manager and he does what needs to be done, but he's not afraid to put it all on the line to save his friends.
But he turned heel right there.
Then he turned face after
You can't turn face after you get a guy frozen in carbonite, brother. That was low end. So, I mean,
I saw myself in Lando. I would probably do that. I'd get you frozen.
Lando, you? Are you kidding me, Boat?
Listen, I think we both have the same sense of
style. I think
style.
You're more like Greeno, that guy. You know?
And finally, Mr. Rocket asks, who is your favorite Transformer robot? I don't really know anything about the Transformers. I know Optimus Prime and I know Bumblebee.
Yeah, you know, the Transformers, it's another show I liked them more than He-Man. In my hierarchy, you got your G.I. Joe, then you got your Transformers, then you got your He-Man. None of those are my favorite. Not while Thundar is walking around, looking like a stud, killing suckers, with a more realistic physique, by the way. But the Transformers, I always liked the Jets were cool looking. So probably I liked Starscream. He had a cool voice. I always thought that Starscream got hosed. Because he got Megatron, right? Megatron is a gun. He can't he can't even fly around. Someone's got to hold him. You know,
it is weird.
Do you know how geeky that is? Like, how did this guy become your leader? Oh, I'm going to shoot you. Oh, who's going to pull the trigger? Oh, I've got to find a guy. You know, where's that tape deck? Get over here, idiot. You know, so that's no good. I like Bumblebee, too. He was pretty, just because I like Volkswagens. Oh, and Jazz, because Jazz had the cool voice, you know. So that's another, he had Scatman Crothers did his voice. So that's kind of cool. So he's like third guy.
David Hearn Ryder asks, the game selection committee decides it's time to review Blood Money again, followed by Flashback.
Yeah.
Is this the end of the podcast?
Oh, no. I didn't hate Blood Money nearly as much as you, and I don't hate Flashback at all. I just suck at it.
Well, I'm always happy to talk about why these games are no good. So I would be happy to. It would not end the podcast at all. I welcome the challenge, Amigos,
you know,
Game Selection Committee.
When it comes to Flashback, we were just talking about a game that like had controls that were stupidly dumb, but it didn't need to have them. Like Flashback, I would love that they could just have like a control mythology where you could just like not be annoyed by them.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
That's the absolutely.
Like they had it. They had like Prince of Persia. You're really teetering on the edge, but Flashback, they shoved you. They shoved you over the edge. It threw crap on you. Yeah.
Ricky DeRosier asks, what is your guilty pleasure? A game that most other people hate, but you enjoy playing.
Let's see. That Barbie Game Boy Advance mystery game. I really enjoyed that. So that would say that would. I'm pretty guilty about that one. And occasionally, and this is a shoot, brother. I'm not going to lie. And Tech Boy beat me the punch. I played Top Banana on like on stream a couple weeks ago, and every once in a blue moon, I'll load that thing up and just try to see how long I can play it before I want to kill myself. So Top Banana, as stupid and bad as it is and ugly to watch, it's sort of a guilty pleasure of mine. And Crap Man's another one. I beat that game and I hated it, but I did beat it. So I have loaded that one up since. It's one of the few ST games I loaded up again after the show.
I really like the arcade game I'm Sorry, where you play a Japanese salaryman. It's a pretty horrible game, but I always fire it up on MAME when I have a chance. So I'd go with that.
What's that game where you run around the classroom that we play on the
Mikey.
Mikey. That's another one. That's another weird Japanese game.
All right, we are skipping the Christmas questions, and we'll roll those around next year, Pajako. So remember your question. Next up is Ravi. We need to do these every month so we don't run into this next time. Ravi asks, what is the most comfortable video game controller you've ever used?
Well,
I'll tell you right now. I've got one right here. Let me unwind it. I have both wired and wireless versions of this controller, but it is the Xbox One controller. Because of the patent on the D-pad expired that Nintendo had, so they have a real working D-pad. The analog sticks are perfectly positioned. The buttons are all responsive. It doesn't get any better. You can play any type of game that you want with an Xbox One controller, and it will be great.
I will say, I haven't had this sitting here. I've used it quite a bit here recently. It's the old 8-bit Doe Saturn/Genesis 6-button knockoff controller. It's a pretty good controller boat. If I could change anything on it, it would make this second line of dots bigger, these buttons, the top buttons, but that's the way it was on the controller. So I like it. I've also been using the Neo Geo. It's good, but I got to go back to my Dead Flesh Epics controller, the King Dong, the Cadillac, the mother of all controllers, joystick special. That's my all-time most comfortable. I love that stick. But mine's beat the heck.
I got to come clean. I said the Xbox One controller, but I really meant what BarkBit said, because this is modeled on an Xbox One controller, but it is the 8-bit Doe Ultimate controller. Is what this is called. So I only play the knockoffs, because the 8-bit Doe controllers are so good. They're just as good as the real thing. I've got two wireless versions and a wired one.
I thought you'd say the joystick that you used to eat, that one.
That the gymstick is the best
the
tasting
gymstick
joystick I've ever
Every
used.
Every time I see one of those featured in a video or something, I laugh. I'm like, man, I know Boat's licking his chops right now.
Those are tasty. They are taste sort of a black licorice taste. Let's see. Batman writes, what are your thoughts on the VIC 20?
My thoughts are thumbs up to the VIC. There are a bunch of computers. Listen, I've looked down on a computer or two in my day, you know, like way down. Like, look at this thing. It's beneath me. And the VIC 20 was I looked down, I was like, VIC 20. That's no good. But I've played some good games on the VIC. Not bad, you know. The TI is another one. Like, I thought the TI, no wonder they're blowing these things out. They're no good. But I was wrong. Like, the last couple of years, me and Britta played, did a TI show and had some of the best games of the year on the TI. So those two computers are off the top of my head. Those were way, way better than I was giving them credit for. But the VIC has some good games on it. So, yeah, thumbs up to the VICs. And you gotta have a lot of jack to program on the VIC, because you're working in a very limited environment there, Boat.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the VIC is great. It's sort of the unsung computer in the Commodore lineup, even though it sold massively. Everything, you know, the C64 has tons of fans. The Amiga has tons of fans. The PET even has tons of fans. Nobody really talks about the VIC as much, but the VIC is solid. It's a solid machine. It's especially for the time and for the price. Yeah. It's a good system.
Yeah. Again, ARG has helped me find some stuff. I think we've done the VIC two times, and both times we've had like two good games each on there. So there's a lot of good stuff on offer.
David Cavalieri asks, gentlemen, what's a New Year's resolution you've kept for longer than a week?
I have sort of tried to eat better. I'm still sort of trying. So if you count trying, then I'd say that. I usually make the same resolution every year. You know, I feel pretty happy. I'm a pretty happy man, you know? And mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of things I don't think I've got a whole lot of bad habits. I'd like to do, one of the things I said was to get out and do more stuff, but it's hard to do that when, like, since New Year's, everything's been a disaster, cold, snowy, hideous, icy. But, like, I do want to get out and do more stuff, so that's another one. But it's too early to tell whether I'll succeed or not. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I generally, every New Year, it rolls around, and I'm like, this is going to be the year where I stop doing things that I know are just a complete waste of my time, like mindlessly scrolling through Facebook or mindlessly watching YouTube videos that are stupid. I find myself doing it all the time. So I'm horrible. I agree with you. New Year's comes at a bad time of year.
Yeah.
New Year's really should start in the spring. Because it's, you know, it's a great time to be like, this is going to be the year where I get outside, start doing more things outdoors. It's hard to make resolutions like that and keep them when the weather's crappy. I'm with you on that 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Is2Scooby asks, do you remember your first celebrity crush?
Yes, I think so. I'm not sure. I think I used to watch Charlie's Angels. Remember that show?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the chicks in there were super hot. Even as a little kid, I was like, man, these are some good looking women. But I think the one I liked, it wasn't Farrah Fawcett. And this is before Wonder Woman as Bajakovich. I thought about that. I think the chick I was into would be, was it Kate? The three. It was Kate. Was it Kate Jackson? I'm trying to get their name.
Charlize Theron.
No, God no. It was way before she was around. Anyway, it was like this would have been like the sportiest of the three, I guess. That'd be the best way to put it. So not the one you would normally pick. I would say that would be a chick I was really into. But yes, eventually that was usurped by Linda Carter, Wonder Woman. And that's a beautiful woman who also played a cool superhero. So that was right up my alley.
I've never been a huge fan. My type has never really been like hot women. I always like cute girls or like sort of girls that in my mind, at least, were somewhere in the realm of possibility that I could hook up with. And so I always, for me, like when I was a kid, I thought like the girl that played Pippi Longstocking on the New Adventures of Pippi Longstocking movie. I thought she was pretty cute. But my first major, major celebrity crush was Claire Danes on My So-Called Life. I thought she was the bee's knees.
Yeah. How old were you when that show was rumbling around?
I was their age. I was like in like ninth grade. So it was a show for me starring people that were ostensibly my age, even though they were older because they were actors. But
yeah, somebody also mentioned, I'm going to scroll back up to who that was, Wilma Deering on Buck Rogers, Jocko. Like that the Buck Rogers show, as a kid, I thought that was a pretty good show. As an adult, much like Wonder Woman, it's the dirt worst if you sit down and watch it. But Wilma Deering was super fine on there. And also Princess Ardala. I was into her, too. You know, I must have been right about that age. But this stuff was great. It was all women. No, I didn't want anybody in my wheelhouse. I didn't know what a wheelhouse was, I don't think. I just assumed that, like, at some point, you know.
Let's see. And how about your first in-real-life crush, Aaron?
On who? A person? Like a person?
Yeah, no, on a potted plant.
There was this chick that I really thought was beautiful in middle school. Named I know her full name, but I just call her Amy. She had curly red hair. You know, so I was like Charlie Brown. You know, so I would say her. She was now at this point I did know what my wheelhouse was, and she was not in it, but I really was into her. So I would say her.
For me, it was a girl, and I will say her last name, Melissa Settle. Melissa Settle, I know you're listening. So
creepy.
She was in band.
Yeah.
She played trumpet, and I would sit there, and I would just stare at her, like, all rehearsal long, you know, cool guy style.
Yeah.
Chicks love it when you do that.
That gets you over.
That's right. That's right.
And you gawk, and, so, yeah. And leer.
He was my first in real life crush.
Yeah. She listens to this show.
I have not. I've actually tried to like look her up to see like does she still exist anywhere. I've not been able to locate her.
You're still leering after all these years. It's a tempted leer,
like that Billy Joel song. Still leering after all these years. I think Paul Simon actually. So Drone Doctor asks, what game on any platform have you spent the most hours playing?
Oh, it would be at MMO. I'm trying to think because we've gotten back into City of Heroes since that big announcement a couple weeks ago. So I would say probably, man, I played a lot of EverQuest. So it would be EverQuest or City of Heroes. There's nothing even close because those are games you just leave on even when you're not home. Like it's always on. So if you took MMOs out, it would probably be Donkey Kong. I mean, I've played that game a million times, and I played it today. I play it anytime I need to test out a joystick or see how well something's synced up, or how if I'm going to play it like on stream or whatever. It's always Donkey Kong, because that one I know so intimately. Plus, I own the one, you know. So it would be aside from the MMOs, it'd be Donkey Kong.
Let's see, Pajaco 6502.
What about you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Skip the question. The Addams Family, for sure. I literally played that game every day of high school. I would come home from school. Chad would come over. We put on a record, and I would beat the Addams Family.
What did he do? He just
sat there and watched me play. That's his thing.
Oh,
that was
God.
His role.
Professional, like, looker?
Yeah.
Have you watched you play Addams Family a lot? I assume he was getting the juice.
He's watched me
play
it thousands of times,
oh,
for sure.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And I still play it. I still play the Addams Family whenever I can. You'll see it on February 10th at Amigathon. All right. Pajaco says, if robots took your job and you had to retrain and do something else, what would you choose to do?
Well, retrain, eh? You know, I do like making these videos and stuff, but when it comes to like, you know, one thing I can't do is like generate like video, like graphics and stuff, like, you know, like stuff you use, like someone that's a professional can do, you know, like remember how people will make us up entrances or openings or stuff like that, you know, like I can't do that. I'm not saying I would be an on camera person. I don't think that's in the cards, but I think I'd go down the road of like trying to learn like actual, like learning how to actually do stuff in production, television production. I think I'd go down that road.
I would go into logistics. I love logistics. I think it's incredible. You know, the movement of goods across the country. I've always been obsessed with driving a truck. Like, I don't know if I'd like it in real life or not, but driving a semi, being your own boss, being an owner operator, and just taking goods from one place to another and getting paid for it, you know, maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't say no. So, but yeah, something in the logistics field for sure. Graham W. Vebke writes, I really enjoyed the D&D stream you guys recently did, and I mentioned I hoped we could play a scenario at the end of Boatfest or after Boatfest. One thing I noticed is that you were playing edition 3.5, whereas I am only really familiar with the 1985 Basic, Expert, and Companion editions. How would you describe the main differences between what I'm used to versus 3.5? Aaron, you want to take this one, or you want me to answer?
You know, I've been up through the ranks. It's funny how rusty I felt playing that game last week, because 3.5, I played 3 for a long time, then I played 3.5 a little bit, you know. But, I mean, man, that system feels real logy to me now. And it's funny because when we used to play strict, like, advanced Dungeons & Dragons rules, and they weren't that strict. But we'd play them, and as I got older and started running the games, the rules got less and less strict. And then eventually I just stopped caring about most of the rules, except for the most basic rules. All right? Because my whole thing was all these rules take up game time. Trying to figure this stuff out, it's a horrible hassle. Everyone, it's difficult. Like, it took me longer to roll my character for this game than it did for him to get killed. It just took forever. So I think the differences are, they've done a better job of organizing it. They've done it. They've made it. It makes a lot more sense than the original, and it's a more fleshed out game with like proper rules and stuff. But I mean, just like any other game, you've got to familiarize yourself with the rules, or you're in trouble. And I will say, it's probably easier to familiarize yourself with the rules than it was in the old days, because the old days were really sort of you got to think, the original D&D was they just basically tacked on some role playing to a war game, you know, and so it wasn't necessarily built for people to role play with. Whereas I think 3.5 and going forward, they've refined it into something that's pretty much a role-playing game and has really nothing to do with the wargaming part. That was actually, if you look at the old rules, there's a lot of crap in there for armies fighting and stuff. And, like, you don't see that too much, I don't think, in actual D&D. Now, I'm sure you've got more intricate thoughts on that, but you're going to tell me I'm dumb.
No, because the only thing that I know, the only system that I know really well is the basic expert edition of Dungeons & Dragons. Like, I've never played AD&D first edition, second edition, or third edition. I've only played 5e and BX. But now I've played 3.5, so I can speak to that a little bit. But the biggest difference is that in BX, you don't have a million different skills. Like, the DM decides what you would roll for, as far as like, for you've got your 6 basic abilities, you know, so for example, instead of rolling for appraise, you might do a check against wisdom, you know, one of your basic 6 attributes. That's the biggest difference between the two. And like you said, there's a much larger emphasis on what are you going to do with all of your loot, because BX is a loot driven game. You go into a dungeon, you get a whole bunch of treasure, you use that treasure to level up, because experience points are treasure. You trade in treasure to level up.
That's the way it was in the old days, actually. It's exactly the way original Dungeons & Dragons, that was the way it was.
Well, BX is essentially original Dungeons & Dragons with a couple quality of life things and a couple things that make the rules make more sense. But it has nothing to do with Gary Gygax. It's Tom Moldavay and somebody else wrote these. This was like a companion product. It was totally different than AD&D, which it was supposed to be. So anyway, there's all of these things, like, what do you want to do with all this? Well, why don't you raise your own army? So, like, a big reason why you might want to choose a fighter is because you can train an army of warriors that you can go fight the battles for you. You can build these huge strongholds, and there's all kinds of mechanics for that. And the storytelling element is much less. Like, the whole idea of a narrative arc where you're describing, like, a movie-type thing, that comes along into D&D, especially 3 and later, where storytelling becomes more of a thing. It's almost, BX and OD&D are almost like a board game. It's like where there are very specific rules, and the idea is just a loot. You know, you go down to a dungeon, you survive the traps, you get the treasure, you bring it back, and you spend the treasure.
You know, I will say, because me and you played, and Brent ran Cthulhu, and for us, and of course I've been playing various D&D games forever, and one thing I liked about Cthulhu was it was a much simpler, it made a lot more sense. If you successfully used a skill, you would get better at that skill. And I find, like, I've kept mentioning how much I prefer Hero. It's funny that the Hero system is actually better for stuff like D&D than it is for superheroes, just because you get so powerful, it gets crazy. But like for hero stuff, it's just a lot easier to keep track of what you're doing. Like there's a lot more, like when Brent was playing, I don't know how much of this was Brent and how much was just the way the game is, but it was more amorphous and shapeless in a lot of ways. Like I didn't understand some of the things that were happening. And you're right, back in the day, like I'm an old schooler, and we talked about this on the day, get in there and go in the dungeon. I don't necessarily think, I think moving away from using loot as your experience is probably the way to go. But I mean, that's the way it was. Otherwise, I'm an old schooler. I like the old modules. I like to go in there and get into the caves or get into the, you know, the dungeons or whatnot. And ultimately, there was no story except maybe you're killing the bad guy at the end of the dungeon, you know, as opposed to like, and I'm not saying anything wrong with the story, but it's just for D&D, it is. You're right. In some ways, that's foreign to me because we never ever did stuff with, I mean, there were always rules for strongholds and armies and hirelings. We hardly ever did any of that stuff. You know, it was there. I mean, other groups may have used it all the time, but like I know my groups never did. We never did any of that stuff.
And that's the great thing about role playing is that every table can be a totally different experience. And it's one of the bad things about, as you know, things like Critical Role and stuff have become popular. Everybody thinks, well, that's the only way that you can do role playing is you've got to do it like Critical Role does. And that's just not the case.
I'm this close to going diceless mode. I'm like two steps, and I always thought I'd never do that, but I can see that. I can see why now, you know.
And Graham asks, have you ever tried any D&D clones like Labyrinth Lord, Dark Dungeons, or even Cairn?
Well, I mean, I've played Hero Rules with the Dungeons & Dragons, like, source material. Like, they weren't from Dungeons & Dragons, but when it comes to playing, like, I don't know, I think I maybe played the Lord of the Rings game, which is sort of like Dungeons and Dragons. I don't think I ever played the knockoffs, like straight knockoffs. Oh, Pathfinder. He's right. I did try that one time. I didn't like it. You know, I'm sort of a traditionalist, but the problem is if you're a traditionalist and you try one of these wacky systems, and even Hero, like if you want to make a first level unicorn man who's half goblin and he's got a cannon in his butt, I mean, you could do it, but as a D&D player for so long, I'm just like, oh God, what is that? You know, so it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, I am. I've tried a bunch of these systems. I'm one of the freaks that does a lot of solo role playing because, I mean, hey, there's just not that many people around that are able to play as much as I want to play. And so I have Cairn. I've not tried Labyrinth Lord or Dark Dungeons, but I really like Mouse Ritter. And I also really like Knave. They're both sort of end of the odd slash BX inspired systems. So I'll try almost anything. And I went through a period where I bought tons of systems, and I still haven't played everything that I've bought, but I just like knowing that they're on the shelf. So yeah, it's cool. And Graham, hopefully we will get to play some role playing while you're here. I know that you're staying a little bit before Boat Fest and a little bit after Boat Fest, so we'll try and get something going, man. All right, next up, Mitsuyama. This is going to finish us out here, Aaron.
All right,
the Apple Vision Pro goes on sale, pre-order, for $3,500 on January 19th, $3,500 for the Apple Vision Pro headset. Question number one, how long before John buys one? Question number two, how long before John sells it?
There's no way John's buying one of those, and I can tell you that right now. And I'll tell you, I'll give you two reasons. One, he already had a headset that would probably get supported more than that one. And he returned it. I think he returned it twice. Am I not wrong there?
I bought and sold the Quest twice.
And secondly, and I could be wrong here. I would guess it's gonna be a cold day, colder than today, where John Bodevkar Schaller drops $3,500 on some kind of dealio. I mean, he didn't pay that much for the boat and all that accoutrement.
Yeah, yeah. I've never spent $3,500 on anything that didn't take me to work every day.
Yep.
That's sort of the way I look at it.
Now, you know, I think Apple's from the devil. But with all that said, if anyone's going to get... Listen, VR, it's been a lot of swings and misses. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And one thing Apple does do, they will make you... When you go into their walled garden, with lofty walls, It's an extra, and it's expensive to get into that garden, but it's a luxurious garden. It's like a Garden of Eden. And so in said garden, it may be Apple has the jack to get, make a proper VR setup boat. Have you heard anything about this thing? What do you think?
The big sell is, like, you know, I've got my ear to the ground for a lot of this Apple stuff, even though I'm not really in the game anymore. The big sell is that they've got this thing called immersive video. So they're trying to tie this to a feature of the iPhone 15 Pro, which has an additional camera on it and essentially allows you to shoot 3D video on your phone. And so you're going through a birthday party or whatever, you're shooting all this video, and then you put on the Apple Vision and you can move through the video as if you were there. That's what they're selling this thing on. Now, this only applies to people that have the top of the line iPhone, but if you're spending $3,500 on one of these sets of goggles, you probably already have the top-of-the-line iPhone. That's really the only thing that I've seen that is any different than what the existing headsets do.
So what's a top-of-the-line iPhone run you, Boat? I don't even know.
It's about like $1,200.
So let's for fun. So the headset on its own, it doesn't have the functionality that it would have unless you had the top-of-the-line iPhone.
No, it works the same. I mean, you can watch movies in VR.
But I mean, you were talking about with the 3D movie,
The 3D movie thing, you have to have the phone because it reads the special file format that the phone shoots.
It's funny because I was just, if you haven't heard the latest, you don't know Flack. I don't know if you heard it yet, Boat. He does a show on that new Google or the Facebook, the Meta Vision or whatever they're called, the glasses, the camera glasses. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, he's got those Ray-Bans, I think.
That's right. They've got it, but the gimmick is much like that. You have to have the phone. You have to have them like basically syncing with a phone on your hip to get most of the functionality. And so in my mind, I'm envisioning this Apple is sort of the same. It'll do some stuff on its own, but to get all the ultra cool functionality, you got to hook it up with this phone. You know, like I said, as I'm no big Apple. By the way, there's a lot of scumbags. Apple, Microsoft, Google. Take your pick. Many more. However, no one can say that Apple doesn't put out or occasionally innovate or even put out a quality product most of the time. And again, having seen other people, like, whom do I like less, Apple or the Meta? Well, I'm not a big fan of the Meta, if I'm honest. And I don't like the idea that I've got to be tied down to a Facebook account. Facebook's a sewer. I'm not too keen on wading into again. And so maybe Apple has the ingenuity to get in there and do something. I like the idea of having a 3D vision when you walk around. That would be really cool if you could capture that and then display it, presumably in the glasses, and you could see it like that. Is that what we're talking about here, Boat?
That's what that's the promise. So we'll see how well it delivers. But that's the promise. The promise is that, you know, on your kid's fifth birthday party, you know, 25 years later, that kid can walk around that same room where the birthday party is and see all the people, you know, and bend over and get close and all that stuff.
See, that would be neat. Now, what I'm, you know, it's funny. I was listening to that thing that Flack put out. I thought to myself, I'm just going to wait till the Chinese knockoff comes out that doesn't make me shoot everything in upside or sideways and doesn't limit me on stuff and doesn't make me stream to Facebook them, because you know it's coming. In fact, I was already looking. And maybe if Apple could get this right, someone could copy it and, like, you know, get the job done. I'd like, for once, Boat, I never thought I'd say this. I'm rooting for Apple. There, you heard it here first, folks.
Well, I think you can root for the technology, you know, and not necessarily be on board with the company. And that's sort of where I fall with a lot of things, most things, actually. I'm not a cheerleader for any one of these huge trillion-dollar corporations, you know. I'm going to cheer for somebody else.
I'm cheering for good, like, effective, useful VR. That's what I want. I think we all want that, Boat.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this round of Ask the Amigos. We will try and be back and do these, knock these out once a month to get all the more topical questions knocked out. But we appreciate you listening, and we apologize for the delay. We will see you next time, and until then, adios.
Adios.